Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
CIO Talk Radio is brought to you by HP Workplace Services. Are you an instant-on enterprise?
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is, should business influence or control IT investments? And our guests for today's show are Steward McCutcheon, who is the Chief Information Officer with NALCO. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good to talk to you, Sanjo.
Yeah, and how is life there?
Going very well. We're off to a good start with the first half of the year. You know, the economy's still lumbering a bit, but we had a great first half of the year. And, of course, a bit of change in the air as we've announced our merger with Ecolab. So we're in the process of executing on that.
Great. And we also have Chris McLaughlin, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer with Domino's Pizza. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Sanjong.
And so how's life, work, and everything else that's going on? Are you working too hard?
No, it's a great time of year to be in Ann Arbor, Michigan. You know, football season's just around the corner, and a lot of optimism in the air, and business has been great at Domino's, so things are going well.
Great. And so with respect to the topic, so while we have things going well in our respective life and business, somewhere we look at the tussle that happens and or is there existing between business and IT, or a disconnect perhaps. So IT says that we very proudly say that we exist to serve business, and I'm sure that's the mindset that percolates across the chain of command within IT. However, we might be killing ourselves, but on the other side, many times we hear that business says that IT is not serving our needs. So where is the disconnect, Stewart?
Well, I think the disconnect is in a couple areas. IT is in a shift. Traditionally, we've been back office, run the data center, run the networks kind of organizations. But if you look at innovation over the last 5 to 10 years, many of the new business models have come out of the IT community. And so I think that we are struggling with changing to a new curve, a new way of contributing to our businesses. But we've got some challenges. Our language is different. Our experience is different than our traditional business partners. Sometimes our objectives, where we're looking at reliability and making sure we dot the I's and security and issues like that, well, those aren't the issues of the business. The business focus is on growth and profitability. And I think one of the key differences between us is around speed. You know, we historically have been all around making sure we get it right. Well, the businesses are operating at a very different speed than us. So I think that's created a bit of a chasm of language and experience, objectives and focus and speed between business and IT. And we're going to have to change if we're going to realize the benefits that IT can bring to the business from a growth standpoint.
So, Chris, business, IT, and IT serving business, nothing is new. We've been doing it for decades. And what Stewart just mentioned, is there something that we are, you know, in a big way missing because of which we do not understand what business wants and we kind of keep singing our own song?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to add to what what Stewart pointed out in terms of the difference between the kind of the old paradigm, you know, cost efficiency, automation, and the newer paradigm built around growth and innovation, and that is that I'm actually seeing in the retail industry where I've been most recently in my career is really kind of even moving on to a third paradigm, which is getting into IT as really as an execution arm when you go beyond innovation. when, you know, we've in the retail industry, we embraced innovation early on, digital channels, online marketing, you know, things of that nature, and IT really drove that innovation paradigm. What's happened since then is, you know, the business has really become savvy with technology, with how to create their own innovation, and they don't really need IT to come to them and say, hey, there's this new thing called the internet, there's this new thing called real-time data warehousing or barcode scanning. I mean, they understand all that. They're driving their own innovation. At this point, they really want IT to be less of the innovator and less of the idea creator and more of the execution and delivery arm. So you kind of end up with three stages along the spectrum of, you know, is technology there to automate and reduce costs? Is technology there to innovate and come up with, you know, growth-driving ideas? Or now in this third stage, I'm saying, is technology really there, or the IT shop really there to really execute on other functions, on supply chain and marketing, who are coming up with their own innovation ideas? And anybody in the organization could be along any one of those three paradigm points, and that's where the conflict tends to arise. You know, IT is trying to drive innovation, and the business may be stuck back in the old cost efficiency paradigm, or they may be, you know, kind of out ahead of IT, saying, you know what, we know where we want to go, we just want you guys to do this, and that's where a lot of the tension arises.
So, with that said, if IT always has been a means to an end versus the end in itself, then at some point, somebody is going to come hard on us as IT department to say, you exist to serve us. Why are you going in your own direction? So while there is a conflict, business needs you. So what would it take to wake these people up within IT to start working or thinking the same way as business does? Stewart, what do you think?
So, I think we're facing obsolescence if we don't wake up. And that's been, since I've been here at Nalco in the last couple of years, that's been the message, right? We change or we become irrelevant. And I think we've done a great job of making that transition. And I really believe the idea here is that we're not strictly a service. You know, as I look to a service type organization, you know, the business makes the order and we execute against the order. I believe the idea here is that the business team that's making the strategic decisions, deciding where to invest, has multiple arms to it. It has business-centric people that understand sales. It has business-centric people that understand R&D and innovation. And it has business-centric people that understand information technology and how that can be applied for competitive advantage. And so the idea here is not to be subservient to the business. It's to be an equal member sitting at the business seat, helping make those strategic decisions of where that investment should go. And that's what we've got to step up to. We've got to understand that we're business people who have a technology background, just like R&D, or business people who have an innovation background, just like salespeople or business people who have a sales background. And I think that's what we need to step up to.
So, Chris, if we were to go back and say, I want to invest in XYZ because we feel it's going to be in the best interest of the business, the business side perhaps doesn't understand half or 75% of what you said or say, and that's why they will say, okay, do what you have to do, but they are basically focused on the end result, which doesn't come to them because the alignment was not there at the very moment when the planning was being done with respect to investment that has to be done. So they could have a blind ear to your initial conversation, and later on they come and say, you did not serve me well. Is that what's happening, or do you think there is something else which is less obvious?
I think it comes down to communication and that partnership, and where that doesn't exist, where business goes off and creates their five-year vision, and then comes back and just, you know, expects IT to already be working on it, or if IT is off coming up with innovations that they're comfortable with, that they want to pursue, or cost savings that save them money in the operations center, and don't communicate back how that drives the business. I mean, then you're going to have that disconnect, and that tension's going to rise. It all comes down to the partnership. It can't be once a year, every November, you get together for one day and lay all your plans on the table and hope they magically align, you know, during the budget cycle. It's got to be an ongoing conversation, at least quarterly, where the business lays out their cost containment objectives, their growth ideas, and IT does the same. You know, and sometimes the cost containment, you know, ideas can be different. We're both trying to save the company money. They may be talking about saving, you know, dollars on shipping routes. We may be talking about saving dollars on bandwidth costs. But regardless, you know, you have to have that conversation where you say, here's the ideas that we're all bringing to the table. Here's what we want to save. Here's where we want to grow. Now, how do we prioritize that? And it's just, it's one family. It's one pool of money. You know, what's the right way to take that prioritization and allocate those dollars out? And as long as that conversation's happening, you know, that relationship and those decisions should be pretty productive. And I've seen time and again that it's the lack of communication, it's the lack of ongoing partnership that leads to those breakdowns. It leads to the tension and you know, those, that budget infighting where nobody's really sure what anybody else is doing.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Chris. That dialogue is an ongoing process. It's not an annual budgeting process. It's a constantly changing. You know, no longer is the business kind of set a plan and then don't change that plan for the year. We may do that from a financial standpoint, obviously, because we're a publicly traded company. We're making commitments to our investment community. But from a how do you execute that plan, that is a dynamic model that as we learn more and get smarter, we're making changes to that and emphasizing different things. And the strategy stays the same, but the execution can change very dynamically, and you have to have that ongoing dialogue. And you can shift between, you know, the winds of the economy, we've certainly learned in the last couple of years, can shift pretty dramatically, and you have to be prepared to respond to that. And that will change the emphasis from, you know, heavily growth-oriented to heavily cost-oriented. You know, both of those objectives are always on the table. The question is in what proportion. And, you know, we need to be prepared. And often when the winds shift, it doesn't necessarily mean IT cuts its cost. I mean, one of the things that we've clearly seen, I mean, IT is a little more than 1% of revenue. Our costs are a little more than 1% of revenue in Nalco. And we've seen that at times, you know, our focus is on the 99, not on the 1. You know, how can we make additional investments in IT but drive the overall cost structure of the company down? So that ongoing dialogue that Chris mentioned, I think, is vital throughout the year.
And one thing to add to that also, Stuart, is, you know, if we need, you know, if we need to get along with the business, we absolutely have to. We're all, you know, pushing towards the same ultimate goal. It's, you know, it's the two things that have to come together. It's the partnership. It's the constant contact, that, you know, the dialogues that have to be happening, you know, continually and in parallel. But it also has to be a level of respect and understanding and credibility from the business. If IT just comes to the table and they're just seen as the guys who control the switches in the NOC, you know, the right conversations are never going to happen. You have to show your business acumen and you know, the fact that, you know, the CIO and the technology department does understand the business. We can drive value. We can speak their language. It's that credibility that you need to demonstrate over time, you know, allows you to, that when you get at the table, it allows your voice to actually be heard.
No, that's spot on. That's spot on, Chris.
Now, one question is that suppose you guys went to a game of golf with your business buddies and in a non-threatening situation, non-official, and you really ask them and talk heart-to-heart and say, what do you want as the type of investments we should make in order for you to meet your needs while we meet ours, because we are kind of being measured in a different way than what you want from us. So what are those tenets, if you will, that we would need to have in place or defined, or what's that holy grail, if you will, of the type of investment strategy that should be in place so that both parties meet their respective needs? But before we jump into this, Chris, we will start with you when we come back. Please stay tuned, listeners. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
We live in an Instant On world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Chris, the question here is that if you talk to your business buddies and ask them in a very non-threatening way, let's define what is that ideal state where an ideal form of investment strategy and or budget which will actually meet your needs and ours, given that we are measured differently than what you want from us.
Yeah, I mean, the way that we've kind of evolved and I think having productive conversations around that here at Domino's Pizza is, you know, kind of in an older world, you were given however, you know, X million dollars and IT was given so much money and spend it, just, you know, spend it wisely, save us money. And then it kind of evolved into, you know, the business is going to have, you know, certain amounts of funds that they can strategically spend. And they're going to, you know, give you initiatives and go work on that. I think where we've ended up, and it feels like it's the right place, is we certainly have our foundation, our baseline budget. We need to keep, you know, keep the electrons flowing in the operations center and so on. But beyond that, it starts with the business objectives. You know, it starts with me having a seat at the table, kind of having the credibility that the other business leaders, you know, feel that I do understand what they're trying to drive. I do understand the greater goals here of the organization. And it's sitting down with them, and going through the overall objectives. The company's objectives and growth and site development and so on, you know, marketing's expectations around customer attention and conversion and channel growth and so on. And then, once we understand those objectives, it's just sitting down and coming up with the initiatives, each one of those one at a time, to say, okay, if we want to go after more, more online customers, you know, what we need to do is we need to expand beyond the internet into mobile devices or tablet devices, and that's going to cost us $1 million to go after that. Do we think the ROI is there? Yes, we do. Okay, let's come up with that money. Let's go to the board if it's big enough. Let's go to the CEO if it's less than $1 million, whatever that number is, and just come up with that money and go after that. So it ends up being a conversation that's driven entirely by the business objectives, and it's a partnership between what can I do as a technologist and what do they need as a operations or marketing function, and then it's just sitting down with the CFO saying, we need $400,000 to go after this. Do we have that money? And it ends up in not being about, you know, filling up the buckets at the beginning of the year and then doling that money out from each silo. It just becomes an organic conversation based on the company's overall source of funds and the function's dynamic needs as they arise throughout the year.
So, Stuart, do you think your life will be much better instead of playing this tennis match with respect to you suggesting something, part of it could get shot down because they think, no, that's not relevant for business, or you may not get what you want? Instead, let business come and say, I want this, so I'm going to put this much money. Tell me how much it's going to take, almost like running IT like a business, and also having them have you come back with a quote and then work that way in terms of your investment strategy versus you taking the whole enchilada and putting in front of them only to see it get sliced and diced. And then also there is some disconnect, and because of which the end result is these people are still unhappy. Why bother?
Yeah, well, I think there's three different models here that are evolving. You know, the model of saying here's a budgeted amount, as Chris was describing, it's a silo. Don't overrun your budget. Do the best you can within that affordability limit. I think those days have come and gone. I think we evolved to running IT like a business, where we started acting more like vendors. Now, the good news is that kind of removed the shackles of our existing budgets, because the businesses were frustrated. They wanted more and more. They saw the strategic value of technology investments. But we basically came back in the old school way and said, you know, we can't afford to do that. We don't have the budgets to do that. We went to a model that basically says, hey, business, if you need it and if we can show the strategic value and you're willing to fund it, we'll go make it happen. We'll go execute that. I think we're moving to a third model today, and that is the one Chris described. We're a member at the table. We're sitting here rolling up our sleeves. I have the same objectives of all the other business leaders. When I sit down for my performance review with the CEO of the company here at Nalco, you know, I'm held accountable for, did I grow revenue? Did I drive productivity? Did I improve profitability? Not within IT, across the whole company, and the role that I played and my organization played in helping to contribute to that. So we've become one team. It's not a matter of making a proposal to the business and the business shooting it down. The idea is we're sitting there developing the ideas with the business, executing on that jointly, setting the priorities as an equal member of that leadership team. Now, there is a piece that the businesses, I think, will never understand, and that's kind of the traditional back office piece. We operate in 150 countries around the world. We have to be able to provide infrastructure in emerging economies of the world. I mean, we're growing tremendously fast in the BRIC plus regions of the world, Brazil, Russia, India, China, Middle East, Northern and Western Africa. So to make those investments and understand those infrastructure things, you're never going to drag the business leadership through that. So we've kind of created two wings. We've got a business wing that works equally with the business, and then we've got an infrastructure organization that understands what we need to operate this business on a global basis, and they have a separate budget which they drive, and we largely, I'm the one that has to dictate that to the business, because they're not going to get in that level of detail. It's the foundation that's necessary to build the business on, but not something that they're going to get involved in. So we handle the infrastructure investments a little different than the business investments.
So, Stuart, if you were to get a performance appraisal for IT, and as I think it was just now said, that the seat at the table is basically letting you drive and let the business also collaborate with you to drive what IT is going to be providing as an outcome. Do you think then we have kind of solved that problem of IT still not delivering what business wants at the end of the day? Because now we, from the planning stage itself, we had collaboration going.
So have we solved that problem? No, I don't think we have. Have we made tremendous progress up the mountain? I think we have, but you know, I don't think we've reached the summit. And there are a couple areas. As we started this discussion, you know, IT has to mature around its business experience, its speed of execution, to be able to be that equal partner at the table. So I think we've earned the equal partner at the strategy table, but the business still is gaining respect for us over time about our ability to execute and actually deliver the return on investments that they make. And that means that these business skills don't just stop at Chris and myself. They have to permeate throughout the organization. And that change in focus and culture to a more business-centric IT organization is not something you do in a year or two. It's something that takes a while to transition that culture. And so I'd say we've made some great progress towards there, and we're trying to permeate that business-centric type organization throughout the entire global IT organization here at Nalco.
Yeah, Stuart. So, you know, to add to that, I mean, that's so coming into Domino's Pizza 5 years ago. You know, it's you read all the literature, and it was my first job as a CIO, and it talks about, you know, being a business partner and having this seat at the strategic table, and so the desire is just to want to come in and say, okay, I'm going to sit at the leadership table and be a strategic partner, and it's just gonna happen, and things are just gonna magically coalesce, and it. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. It you have to, create the long tail of proven credibility. You have to deliver. You have to, you know, you have your operations, just they have to sing, and everything, the trains have to run on time, and you have to you know, show to the organization that you're, you know, first of all, that your organ, that your IT function, you know, is worthy of being taken, you know, taking that seriously and worthy of being a, you know, partner at the highest level. And then the second thing you have to do is that what I, you know, I had to do and ended up, probably being the, you know, the luckiest or smartest, you know, move I ended up making was bring in leaders that, you know, that aren't just pure technologists. I mean, I had an outstanding, organization full of developers and engineers and, you know, just programmers and just really bright minds, you know, but it wasn't full of a lot of business-minded people. And so one of the first things I did is I didn't go hire more engineers and developers. I went out and brought in, you know, three or four really just kind of technology business leaders, folks that understood technology but really were almost business first. So we could have the credibility then to when we sit down and we talk to operators or franchisees or international directors or whoever it is, we had folks that weren't just talking Java and JavaScript and Apache and so on. They were actually talking the business, and that trust and that relationship, you know, could really form. And you know, kind of the day that I knew that we had it all the way to Bright, was recently had an opportunity with our international division where they had a, you know, new initiative that they wanted to go after, and they had this need, and we brought to them a solution in terms of real-time data warehousing that could possibly solve that, and it was just a conversation more around, they just trusted that the technology would work. We'd had enough proven wins that they felt that, hey, this is, you know, this is, we don't have to question whether or not that, you know, this solution's actually going to do what, you know, what Chris says it's going to do at the end of the day. It just became it was just a business conversation. And then that flowed into the budgeting piece at the end where there's so much trust around that we were both going after the right thing. It was the right, and it was definitely the right thing to do for the business. And when it came time to fund it, we were kind of joking, but it's almost like, you know, when the family goes to a movie and they, you know, there's no credit card, so everybody starts, you know, digging through their pockets looking for cash. It doesn't matter who's got the 20 and who's got the 5. You're all in the same family. It's just throw the money on the table. Do we have enough to buy 4 tickets for the family? That's what the conversation became. It's like, you know, I've got $150,000 in this budget. You've got $200,000. This is the right thing to do. Let's just throw the money together and just go do it. And that's when I knew the partnership was 100% Fulbright.
Now, when it comes to IT investments and our budgets, of course, there's a CapEx and an OpEx component. For business, perhaps they do not want to, or they don't understand the difference between the two. They say, I'm giving you a stash. You're going to be spending on something. I got to get the value. And traditionally, we've seen above 80% or even close to 90% being spent in OpEx, which is not expected to create so-called value or incremental value. And they say, I gave you $1 million and I get this tiny bit of value, whereas what you were able to spend was only 10%. So if they want more, do they not want to understand, or you're not able to explain them that, hey, I spent 90% of my budget in just keeping the lights on? Stewart.
Well, they certainly want that innovation. They want those new growth ideas. And so saying that your budgets are locked up in operational expenses and you really can't free up money for innovation investment is a strategy that doesn't work for IT and doesn't work for the business. So we have to drive. The reason I said the growth objectives and the productivity objectives, you have to drive them in parallel. We have an initiative. In fact, half of my job is chief information officer. The other half of my job is chief productivity officer for the company, which really is not an IT-centric job. It's all about how do you free up investment by driving productivity in throughout your company so that you can make investments and growth ideas. And we do that. I mean, every year we take out operational costs, not just in the IT budget, throughout the company. We have a goal every year to exceed $100 million of cost productivity gain so that we can free up cash without having to go out and borrow it. We can free up cash from within the operations of the company to invest in our strategic growth initiatives. And IT has that exact same strategy. We have to drive those operational costs down. You can't just go to the business and say, sorry, I can't feed this great innovative growth idea that we've got because you know our money's tied up in operating expense. Now you have to set priorities. There's never enough money. There's never enough time. There's never enough people to do everything you want to do, and so that focus is always necessary. And you can't execute if you don't focus. So I think that's actually a sort of a mixed blessing. It forces you to make some hard decisions around where you want to make those investments,
But if you didn't have to make those hard decisions, if you tried to pursue so many parallel activities, the reality is we couldn't execute across a diluted strategy like that. So this budgeting process helps us to focus, and you have to drive those operating expenses down. That's a reality of life, not just within IT. The business leaders, our supply chain leaders have to drive their operational costs in the supply chain down. Our sales organizations have to understand how to get more productive every year. So we're not in, unlike them, we have to drive those costs down in order to free up money for investment.
All right, Chris, we will ask the same question now in addition to the original question. Now, suppose we did kill ourselves to get $5 out of those $10 that we had, and perhaps not $100 we had. So we say, earlier my operational or OPEX was $90 out of the $100. Now I shaved off $5 out of it. Still, you got the megabucks, which is $85 left, which is going into operational expenses. The problem, while you killed yourself in shaving that off, you got a great congratulations, but there's still, I do not see why I should only be getting the value creation related dollars as total of 15. The problem still remains.
Yeah, what we tried to do to bring a lot of clarity to this issue was we just worked with finance and really just kind of rearranged our whole cost center definition in IT to really just, bring a lot of transparency to this problem, because, originally it was, there's $10 million sitting here, and God, what's this for, and how much of it's operational, is any bit of a strategic. What we did is we carved out the piece that was truly operational, and we call it core, and it's a core IT budget, and it's its own cost center, and it sits there, and it grows by whatever, 2% a year, and we try to, we're always trying to compress that and just, run better operations. But then that money's got its own, it's kind of sitting there, it's got its own, its own earmarks for, for what it's meant to do. And there's no confusion around, what that money's, what it's destined for, and more importantly, what it's not destined for. So, guys, don't touch this. I need this money just to run the business. And trust me, if you give this to me, the business will run, and I'll try to save you 5% every year. Then everything else we do, all these new growth things, partnering with the business, partnering with international, with marketing, building, iPhone applications and online ordering and digital marketing and supply chain solutions and all these things, we carve out new cost centers for every one of those. And we manage each one of those as a business. Really, it's not even a cost center. I can't say profit center because we don't profit. It's just they're break even centers. We try to make sure that the value we're driving for the business, the online internet orders for our pizza, the money coming in from that, pays for the investment that we spend on that. But we run each one of these as a mini business. And it makes the conversations really simple then. So if I, because it's, they're now detached. I mean, I'm trying to save money on the operational piece, the core piece, but that's completely independent from any investment we decide to make in supply chain or in marketing. Each one of those are just mini IT businesses that stand, live and die on their own ROI.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Stuart, we'll start with you. We actually did a show last week on 80-20 rule regarding budgeting. I'd like to pose that question yet again because it's very relevant here, is that traditionally OPEX has been 80% and 20% or less has been the CAPEX. Do you think if we go out from the very initial presentation and initial proposal to the business and say, we want to convert this into 50-50, either you give us more money or help us figure out how we can bring it to 50-50. And you're not a CFO, you're a CIO, so you don't do number crunching. Let the CFO get involved and take the lead in this. What would be their answer? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back and explore.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The Instant On Enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjo Gall.
Welcome back. So, Stuart, 80-20 rule. If you went and posed this question to CFO and other business leaders, say, I want to convert this into 50-50 or perhaps, you know, reverse the way you spend on OPEX versus this, so you got to give me more money or figure out or help me because I'm not a numbers guy. Help me in reversing this so that you start getting more incremental value. What do you think that the answers will be?
They're going to say, show me the money. They're going to say, in fact, Catherine Michaels, our CFO, is obviously very business-focused. She is going to say, look, if we're going to increase investment in the area of IT, what's going to be the bottom-line financial benefit of that? Help me understand how that's going to affect our EBITDA, how that's going to affect our free cash flow, how that's going to affect our earnings per share. And if we're able to demonstrate that, I mean, you said we're not the numbers guy. Well, we have to be the numbers guy. We have to be the business people that says, here is the value of what we're delivering, and here's the quantifiable value of doing that. And in some cases, you know, IT is difficult to quantify. You know, what was when we went from mainframes to PCs, when we put smartphones on the street, what was the return on investment? Kind of hard to quantify that, but it was critical, an essential part of our business strategy to accomplish that. So they're going to say, show me the value that it can deliver to the business, and they're also going to continually ask the question, well, what are you going to do on the operational cost to make it more efficient? Last year's excellent is this year's average, is tomorrow's unacceptable. So we've got to keep focused on driving those productivities so that we free up that cash for investment.
So that answer, let's build upon that. So Chris, if we say that necessity is the mother of invention, and the fact that it does, it looks like that for many cases, IT's investment or ROI of IT investment is not or cannot be measured precisely. Is that an area of improvement, or are there things being done in that area? Because if you could do that, I'm sure you will be able to go take a proposal to your respective CFOs and say, if you give me $1 million, I'll make you 10. And I think nobody's going to refuse that. So is the problem down there that we are playing in the haziness of money going into IT like a black hole, but not a precise outcome can be defined?
Yeah, you know, if CIOs want to get out of the old paradigm, and they want to be able to break the tension and to be able to present, you know, business opportunities and get funding for them, then the burden's on us to educate the business, but, you know, in particular the CFO, you know, as to what the ROI, what the return is, and why this is a good business investment. I mean, if we kind of take the old approach and we just say, oh, there's a bunch of computers here, they cost a bunch of money, trust me, I'm running a tight ship, I can't really explain why, just because there's a whole bunch of technology here, just trust me, I'm doing the best I can. I mean, that's a recipe for a lot of mistrust and for things staying the way they are, which is that you're probably not going to get a lot of money to go after new initiatives. If you really want to be able to drive the business and get the funds to do that, then for myself here, CIO at Domino's, I've got to educate the rest of the organization on exactly how I'm spending this money and what the return is. And so for me, that means breaking it down. There's always that core piece where it's going to be difficult to explain the ROI. I mean, it's like the roof on the building. What's the ROI for having a roof on the building of Domino's Pizza World's headquarters? You know, I'm not sure anybody can really explain what that is, but we got to have one. It costs $1 million. So, you know, sorry guys, it is what it is. So there's always going to be that portion of IT that everybody's just going to have to accept that it needs to exist. I can't mathematically quantify what the benefit is to the business day in, day out. Once you get that piece aside and you try to carve that out and make that as small and tight as possible, every other piece, the burden's on me to now to start explaining, okay, I have four programmers working on this, this is why. I'm able to reduce labor in the stores. I'm able to reduce, you know, miles driven by our trucks, you know, whatever it is. You know, here's the benefit of that, so that's why I need these four guys, and that's why I need two more next year, because I'm going to be able to save, you know, $500,000 by making these changes. It's just going through that business and educating them and educating myself, my own team, and holding ourselves, accountable to make sure that every investment we make in all these growth areas, that there's a way to quantify and explain that. And if we can't, then we probably shouldn't be doing it. If I can't somehow convince myself that there's a return on this, then I'm wasting my time to try to explain that to the CFO.
Yeah, you make a good point about the idea that there's going to be a portion of it that you know, is keeping the lights on, it's the roof on the building, as you put it. The approach that we've taken there is that they're not at that point. They're not asking the question, you know, do you have to run a network? And what they're asking is, are you being efficient at doing it? And so we found that benchmarks are very helpful. And although they're sometimes difficult to get apples to apples benchmarks, and they do take effort and time, they do two things for us. One of them is they help the business understand whether you're running them efficiently or not. So they're not really questioning, do you need it? They're really questioning, do we have to spend this much money on it, and how does this compare versus our competition or others? What's world class there, and have we achieved that? So the other thing that it does for us is it helps us understand where we're not being efficient, that we ought to be able to step in there and drive some additional efficiencies and wring some additional cash out of that part of our operations. So we found benchmarks are crucial for how do you justify the investment in areas that they don't understand that are necessary to run the business, the infrastructural part of it, the foundational part of it. But as Chris said, the ROI, the earnings per share, the free cash flow, the EBITDA impact of business investments is crucial to quantify. Otherwise, you're not going to win your lion's share of those investment dollars.
It would be a very interesting thing to find out that what percentage of IT investment typically can be precisely quantified. And if yes, then what all areas that somebody should look under the hood to see, okay, these are the areas where you can actually get a precise measurement, and which are the areas where you should just not even waste your time trying to quantify? Stuart.
So that's an interesting idea, and you can't always determine cause and effect. For example, if you're sitting there doing a project, and in our case, we've invested heavily in equipping our 8,000 sales and service people around the world with mobile tools, with CRM tools, with knowledge management tools, with social networking collaboration tools, so that we can bring the best of Nalco everywhere. So you sit there and say, well, what's the ultimate objective of that? Well, the ultimate objective of that is to grow revenue and market share. And so if we grow revenue and market share, was there a cause and effect relationship? Would they have been able to do it if we had not equipped them with these tools? Well, it's difficult to really tick and tie that cause and effect relationship. So this is where your relationship with the business leaders is so vitally important. The business leaders sit there and say, I'm committing to a P&L. I'm committing to this level of profitable growth, and I need these types of solutions if I'm going to affect that change. If at the end of the day they achieve their P&L, they attribute a portion of that growth and that profitable growth to the improvements that you've been able to provide them, win-win situation. If at the end of the day neither you don't achieve those goals, then you're both jointly accountable for we made these investments and you didn't deliver the top line and bottom line improvements that you intended. So you can't always tick and tie them to cause and effect between, you know, investment A yielded this revenue growth, but you can sit there and get that business commitment that I will commit to this level of P&L if you provide me those new capabilities.
Now we take the question back to Chris. This is for you. So suppose we took the same question and asked the business person who might have requested that these mobile devices or mobile enablement of the sales force will if done, what value will you get? So I'm sure they would have some number somewhere that would have allowed them to also justify to the executive management, I'm investing in it because of that new capability, I will be able to get you XYZ percent increase, incremental increase in how we handle our sales cycle or reduction in sales cycle, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, that's where I'm fortunate to be part of a franchise organization where there's a tremendous amount of scrutiny and transparency required on almost everything that the company spends. We've got over 1,000 franchisees out there, in America and in 60 countries around the world, and it's everything we spend is being eyeballed by thousands of people, and so everybody in the business has really learned to take that accountability to the next level. So my chief marketing officer, folks in charge of operations, anytime they come up with an initiative, before they even come to me or to the CFO, I mean, they're already running through it trying to understand the ROI. If we build an iPad app, I'm going to be spending money out of a advertising fund or marketing fund that was paid for by franchisees. I need to make sure that I'm going to be able to stand up in front of them at the end of the year and say that you guys put $1 million into this and I got $2 million worth of marketing awareness and sales growth out of that. They already have that discipline, which makes it easy then when they come to me. I mean, they've already done their numbers, and now it's up to me to figure out how to make sure that the technology solution I provide fits into that ROI. If you're working for an organization that doesn't have that discipline, I think one of the primary things that you need to do, first of all, is what I mentioned earlier, is make sure that you've got business savvy people on your IT team. You can't just have programmers. As much as we love programmers, as much as programmers drive our business and engineers, we need to have enough business savvy people to have those conversations. But the other side of that is to make sure that the business is educated and that your key partners, if they don't naturally bring things to an ROI, type quantification, before they bring you an idea, you have to educate them on the importance of doing that. So when you're sitting down, one of the first things you're doing as you're talking is you're not just talking about, look how great the world would be if we did XYZ, but everybody also has an understanding of what the cost and benefit is of getting to XYZ.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back. And Chris, we will start, I'll go ahead and ask a question here. Like, if there were two wheels in a bicycle, and there are two wheels in a bicycle, and they're both moving at a different speed, and one wheel being business, another wheel being IT. And the reason I use this analogy is because the changes that we find, the new normal is impacting the business as well as impacting IT. And for that reason, and it's happening at different speed in different ways. So in a way, you got a bicycle, which is going to be mighty tough to balance when you've got both wheels running at different speed. How do you make that balance actually happen? And in order to make all this happen, you also have to invest so that you make the most out of the growth that is happening in technology as well as in business changes. We'll come back from the break and explore this.
The future of online TV is here. View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile and connected. To compete, you want data center flexibility so you can adapt quickly to changing business needs while keeping information safe. Introducing Enterprise Cloud Compute Services, HP's solution for managing secure servers, storage, and networks, delivered as a service. Pay only for what you need. Create order out of chaos. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Start shaping your cloud at HP.com.
We live in an instant-on world, mobile, connected, and fluid. Competing in this world takes a special kind of workplace technology that adapts to change, that allows seamless and personalized interaction. Introducing Workplace 360, HP's full lifecycle desktop management solution, delivered as a service. User subscriptions allow you to gain financial control and flexibility. The instant-on enterprise is here. Are you ready? Visit HP.com for answers.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, Chris, question again. Two wheels on a bicycle, they're moving at a different speed. That is business and IT having different growth and different new paradigms and different ways to improve IT and business available to both of them. And if they do not move exactly the same speed, the bicycle, which is the actual overarching business, it's going to fall. How do you make that happen, and how do you get the investments right?
Yeah, and that's a great visual. It's a great metaphor for thinking about this. I'm going to go back to one of the first things I talked about, which is the 3 points in the evolution of an IT function, which is kind of the old 1970s, 1980s automation. Then we went through years of IT leading innovation because we're the only ones who really understood, you know, these new technology things, and we're the only ones who could really figure out how to bring them to the business. And then the new paradigm, which is that, you know, our business leaders, they know Facebook, they know social networking, they know, you know, the internet, they know real-time data and barcode. They understand all that. They don't need us to bring these cool new, you know, toys and ideas to them. They can come up with their own innovative ideas. They need us to execute them. And so really the different, you know, rates of the bicycle tires turning, it kind of depends on where each person in the organization is along that, you know, along that continuum. And I feel like, you know, that our job as being a support, you know, IT being a support function, is I feel like for me it's my job to adjust the rate of my tire to fit the business as much as possible. You know, marketing operations, you know, these functions, they're dealing with the outside world, with the customers, with B2B. They got a lot of things going on. I don't want them worrying about how they're going to play with an internal support function like technology. So what I do is I try to figure out where they're at on this continuum. And if they're at a point, if I have a function that doesn't really know how to innovate, then I'm going to try to drive them. I'm going to try to bring them innovative ideas and kind of set the speed of the tire and really kind of have them kind of keep up with that. If I'm dealing with a function such as our marketing group, which is extremely innovative, you know, very technologically savvy, they're setting their tire spinning at a pretty fantastic rate. It's my job to make sure I don't slow them down, that I deliver at the speed that they're asking for. So I see my job as really kind of the balancer, just kind of reading the capabilities and the mindset and the innovative capability of each person in the organization, and make sure that technology comes to the table and is able to kind of spin the wheel at the speed that they're capable and want to go at.
Yeah, Sanjoy, I think this is a great question, and I think if it is the one major chasm between the business and IT. I've been at Nalco for a couple of years now, and what I found when I arrived was that the average project was taking 18 to 24 months, and that level of frustration in the business was created extreme frustration because, you know, the old traditional waterfall way of delivering projects with functional specifications and design and delivery and testing just wasn't working at the speed the business needed it. So, you know, the one thing that I think has changed us more than anything to being accepted by the business is moving to an agile scrum methodology. We now release products, release enhancements to our product on a fixed 2-week cycle. And that's caused two very dynamic changes. It's caused us to be able to deliver value to the businesses in increments. Granted, we can't do everything in 2 weeks, but we deliver to them at a rapid pace, focused on the highest priority, highest return areas first. And the second thing that's caused is back to this investment question. Before, we would invest tremendous amounts of money in these 18 to 24 month projects, building functionality that in many cases was never used. By focusing in on this agile scrum methodology, co-location of the businesses and IT teams into the same room every day, working on a given initiative, releasing incremental value to the businesses every 2 weeks, has led to an environment where the business, back to the 80-20, a little different 80-20 rule than you raised, the 80-20 rule here, when the business gets 80% of what they need and they start seeing the complexity starting to rise and we've got so many features and functions, they say, enough, I got other high priorities now, let's go focus on a new area and stop. And so our average investment per project has gone down tremendously because we're focusing in on the most important things, not trying to deliver every feature and function that the business could originally imagine. So I think that's dramatically changed the speed at which we deliver, to the point that it was almost comical a couple of weeks ago. I had one of the business leaders come to me and say, hey, the number of new things that are coming out is way faster than we can handle. I can tell you in my multi-decade career in IT,
I've never heard that either.
I had never heard that. And, you know, we had to focus on training. We had to focus on development of our people so that in the change management aspect, because we, to use your very good analogy again, all of a sudden the IT wheel was spinning faster than the business change management wheel. So, you know, I thought that was fantastic news, and that we'd kind of turn that paradigm around where IT was always applying the brake on your bicycle.
Now, with that said, one last question I have is that the kind of leaders that exist today, and I'm sure in your respective companies, you've done what you best can do and still have some challenges, and that's why you get the couple of paychecks that you get every time, right? So what should this new, you know, the step-up candidates or the new breed of leaders, or perhaps even the ones who are still struggling, should be doing differently than what they've been doing so far in order to get a balanced bicycle running? Chris?
If on the IT side?
IT side, because they're the ones who are at the receiving end in terms of the new orders, et cetera, and expectations from business.
Yeah. I think it's a couple things that, you know, the agile methodology that Stu was talking about. You know, I agree. I think, you know, the trying to build the Taj Mahal, kind of disappearing and saying, hey, you know, give me 2 years, I'm going to come back, I'm going to build you something spectacular. By the time you're done with that, it'll probably be 4 years later, and the business won't even need it anymore. So I think it's being a lot more nimble, a lot more dynamic and agile in our development is one key. The other pieces of it is really understanding where the business is on the continuum. What do they need from IT? Do they need ideas? They need innovation? They just need execution? Or are they still, back, you know, some departments are still back in the, in the realm of just, you know, hey, I just need to get paychecks out every week, just automate this and just do it as low cost as possible. It's kind of understanding, you know, every business partner, where they're at, and matching up. Instead of trying to force what, you know, your personality on them, it's just trying to understand exactly where they're at in their own evolutionary cycle, and be the partner that they need you to be. And then the final piece is to make sure that you invest heavily enough in business savvy leaders. The directors in your organization need to understand the business more than they need to understand technology. There's plenty of people that can make sure that the engineering gets done at the end of the day. If you look around, if you're a CIO and you look around your table and everybody, you know, that's sitting there at your leadership table, all your IT directors are still would rather be programming than solving business problems. You've got the wrong IT leadership team. You need folks that want to solve business problems, that want to partner, and let the engineers underneath them do the work. And I think once you kind of get your team right, I think you're going to find that the speed of those wheels synchronize a lot more simply.
Yeah, that's a great point, Chris. I talked to a lot of, you know, kids that are in school or coming out of school, and some of them aspire to be CIOs, and I give them one piece of advice. I said, in the first 15 years of your career, spend at least half of your time not in IT. I was fortunate early in my career, not because I had a vision, because I really didn't know what I wanted to do. So I joined a program fresh out of school where I knew I would move every year or two, doing totally different roles. So I've been a supply chain manager, I've been an R&D manager, I've run manufacturing organizations, and of course I've done IT type activities as well. And I think the next CIO is going to be a business leader first and an IT leader second. And I think to build that breadth of skill, you've got to spend earlier in your career doing something other than pure IT roles.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, thank you so much, Stuart and Chris, for sharing your thoughts about how business could influence or control IT investments, but at the same time, let the IT leaders really work closely to get the end goal going. Thank you so much again.
Thank you, Sanjay.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Thank you, and thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog, all your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sunjal Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.